Ari Rosenbaum here with another fun-filled episode of that 401k podcast. This week's subject, we're going to talk about lame plan sponsor excuses and why they don't really care about their retirement plan, or why they don't care, and some of the stuff that over the last almost 23 years I've heard one way or the other from plan sponsors. But of course, first things first, let's talk about the virtual events that are coming along on March 25th. That's Thursday, as far as I know. 4 p.m. Eastern, we're going to have that 401k virtual bunch with a good friend of mine, Jeff Todd, financial advisor from Q3 Asset Management. Big fan of our events, helped sponsor the Atlanta event and Tampa Bay's, the Tampa Bay events. On April 22nd, on Thursday, we're going to talk to James Moyna, CPA. On May the 10th, that's actually a Monday, we're going to have a special that 401k virtual bunch. It's going to be in a webinar setting because of the guest of a great magnitude. And of course, it's when I think of great magnitude, I always think of A Fistful of Yen from the Kentucky Fried Movie. But a guest of great magnitude, Congressman Jamie Raskin from Democrat from Maryland. I know him way back when he was a law school associate dean, and I was a very hopeful law student, and then things went horribly wrong, joking, but it'll be great to talk to Congressman Raskin. We'll talk about, obviously, what's going on in the world, and obviously what was going on with him, highly involved with the impeachment, as well as the insurrection, I guess that was it January 6th and whatnot, so we'll talk to him on that. On April 9th, that is a Friday, we will have that 401k virtual conference number 10. We got, Himbaugh from Granite Group, we got Serato Group, which is a confederation of TPAs presenting as well, and we'll have some other presentations to announce. As far as live events go, we had three events that we actually had dates for, actually four events if you count Las Vegas. Las Vegas is going to happen in December 2021. We're going to look to maybe actually having it on the Las Vegas Strip. We'll see how pricing goes. Originally, it was scheduled for December 2020 at the Las Vegas Ballpark, which is in Summerlin, Nevada. We'll see what happens with that. But more importantly, we have the events where we started to collect sponsorship money and participant money and whatnot. But we have events that we have to reschedule. Houston, St. Louis, and Minnesota. Right now, I'm looking to new dates. I haven't heard back from Houston. We're looking at dates in August and September. Still have baseball season. I just think that, I'm getting my first shot in a week. I think that life is going to come back slowly but surely back to normal. I thought that last year around the same time, but obviously with the vaccine and herd immunity and all that kind of stuff, I think that, by the end of the summer, it should be easier. I think that trying to schedule a date in, June is just too hopeful. I had originally planned on Minnesota for June. I don't think that that's really possible right now, especially with June really being 2.5 months away. So always go to that 401ksite.com for further information on all the events, as well as the rescheduling of the dates. I'm probably going to do one in August and two in September. I don't know, back-to-back, but probably like two-week intervals. It's just a matter of finding from Houston as to available dates. Didn't want to be in Houston in August, but it's an indoor stadium during the summer. It's got the retractable roof. We'll see what happens, or maybe we'll do Minnesota in August. I don't know. I know that my daughter wants to... certainly wants to go to the Mall of America, so we'll see what happens. But let's go back to the topic. Lame plan sponsor excuses on why they don't care about the retirement plan. You hear so many excuses over the years when you deal with potential clients as to, what's going on with their plan. I mean, years ago when I first started working on my own, I attended a lot of small networking events, a small employer, sole proprietor networking events. It was good in the sense that it allowed me to become more personable and be able to market myself, but it was also bad because, entrepreneurs at the very beginning and sole proprietors, you know, they don't have money for retirement. If they do, they're going to go to one of those free plans, you know, a SEP IRA or Simple or, you know, solo 401k. And it's part of my practice, you know, you can't compete with free. So when, you know, Fidelity and Vanguard is giving away free plans, you know, you can't compete with free. But, you know, you would hear all these excuses, and the problem is the excuses are just really lame. It's based on knowledge that you really don't have. Many years ago, when I was engaged to my wife, or as I just married, she asked for my credit report, and I insisted that I had very, very good credit, because I never missed a bill, and I didn't have credit card balances and all that stuff the days before I became a sole proprietor. But we looked at my credit report, and it was low. It was like, I think it was high 600s, and she was well over 700. And it turns out she was mad at me. Apparently, my mother had taken out a credit card that had a $17,000 balance that we were both signers on the account. She had opened up that account when I was in college, so I would have a credit card. And needless to say, I didn't know that there was a $17,000 balance. And my wife was upset because I made a declaration that my credit was good based on something that I really didn't have any knowledge. And, you know, I didn't know that my mother had a $17,000 account balance. That's my defense. But my wife's defense is you made a statement that you really had no basis in fact. That's you know, obviously that's the caveat of being married to a lawyer. You lose these type of arguments, especially even when you are a lawyer like I am. But, you know, one of the first lame excuses that you hear from plan sponsors is it really costs too much money. Obviously, plan sponsors are going to be very cost sensitive. So when they hear, you know, about cost, like, for example, I charge a retirement plan tune-up where I do a review. I even was offering the service when I was at Meyer Suozzi, that law firm that I don't like to mention, but I just did. I could count over the last 12 years, you know, on two hands how many reviews I did. Because when they heard $750, which could be paid through plan assets, you know, plan sponsors don't want to do it. Anything that costs them a lot of money or even a small amount of money, they're just not interested, even if it can reduce the liability. And my reviews have certainly uncovered issues with plans. And it's just amazing that, you know, plan sponsors just don't want to spend. $750 isn't, to me, you know, it's not my mortgage payment. It's certainly cost affordable. And it's just amazing what a plan sponsor will do to avoid these kind of costs. You know, when we were kids, we were told that consistent dental checkups will help preserve our teeth and avoid the high dental costs that our parents and grandparents faced. Of course, my daughter doesn't take care of her teeth, and right now we're going through that expense. But, you know, it's scary one to think that, you know, I've had one cavity all my life, and I'm still ticked off about that. I was lucky with my teeth. I'm the type of guy who would go 4 years without a dental exam and have no issues, just plaque. I go more often now. Now that I'm older, now that I have kids, and we have a dentist that we like. But like with dental checkups, plan sponsors need to be taught the same approach, that an annual biannual review of their retirement plan is going to preserve their financial health of not only the plan, but also help them avoid unnecessary pecuniary harm for a breach of their fiduciary duty if they, you know, tend to ignore their retirement plan. You know, a retirement plan isn't some, you know, piece of furniture or, you know, some object that, you know, you could ignore. It was something that was drafted and created to meet the plan sponsor's financial needs at its installation. And the financial needs are, you know, obviously the financial needs of the plan participants at the time. So it's got to be consistently reviewed. If the plan, you know, you got to determine whether the plan still fits their needs. You know, the client that had a defined benefit plan when they had two or three employees, it may not be a great fit now that there's about a dozen or 15 of them. That's why, you know, again, you got to find out if the plan design and the plan provider still fit the needs. A lot of times, the plan sponsor really outgrows their plan issues. So, you know, this is another reason why a plan review is necessary, even when it comes to a, you know, a negligible amount of shekels. I mean, 750 is 750, but it's a lot better than 5,000. So that's how I see it. Another lame excuse is when their plan provider tells them that the plan is okay. Henry Youngman in the movie Goodfellas told a joke about a man who was given 6 months to live by his doctor. When he couldn't pay the doctor's bill, the doctor gave him another 6 months to live. The same can be said about retirement plan providers who tell their clients they are doing okay without, you know, bothering to do some sort of analysis to prove it. It's the idea, you know, you can't self-certify yourself. But, you know, TPAs and advisors do that because they want to keep the business. And good retirement plan providers do the best job possible and demonstrate that regularly. The not-so-good plan providers are going to be self-serving and telling the plan sponsor that they're doing a great job without proving why. And even with the great providers, you have to, as a plan sponsor, determine whether, you know, they're doing a great job or whether the fees are reasonable or not. And you just can't take their word for it. I mean, most of them are upstanding people and you want to trust, but, you know, a lot of that, you know, excuses or whatnot, it's all self-serving. So, to only determine whether a plan provider's fees are reasonable or not, you're going to have to go out and do some, you know, independent benchmark or some other way to determine whether the fees are reasonable by seeing what's out there in the marketplace. Most plan providers are trustworthy, but, you know, there are quite a few that are not. So being a plan fiduciary doesn't really allow a plan sponsor to take the word of their plan provider because, you know, they're on the hook if the plan provider's word is no good. They say that proof is in the pudding, and I still don't know that. I still don't know what that means. But the proof is that you can't take a plan provider's word for it. You need to do an independent benchmark or review. Next on my list, their attorney says they're okay. When I worked at that semi-prestigious Long Island law firm of Meyer Suozzi, the most senior partner out there, which is Judge Joseph Suozzi, who may rest in peace, and his son is Tom Suozzi, who's now a congressman on Long Island. He took me aside once and said, "Oh, what do you practice?" And I said, "ERISA." And he said he had no idea what that meant, and he walked away. But the problem is there are quite a few attorneys out there who think they know ERISA. If you're not an ERISA attorney, please don't opine on ERISA, just like I'm not a criminal law attorney and I'm not going to opine on criminal law. I'm not a constitutional lawyer either, so that's why when you see me on Facebook, I try not to get into constitutional law discussions. I did very well at con law on the bar exams, not so much in class, but it is what it is. But, you know, ERISA is like no other law out there. Plan sponsors should only rely on the legal opinion of ERISA attorneys. And too often, in my experience in dealing with potential clients, it was the non-ERISA attorney who told the client, you don't need to review your plan. Everything's fine. And, you know, they were blocking me. As Guy Talk would speak, they were certainly blocking me. And, you know, they were that stick in the wheels of progress. So, it's funny. You're not going to seek medical opinion on your toothache from a podiatrist or oncologist. So why seek ERISA guidance from an attorney that's not an ERISA attorney? Next on my list, they have a small plan, nothing to worry about. Stock market has been chopping for the last 20 years. I mean, there's been some very large hills and certainly large valleys. There have been a proliferation of lawsuits against plan sponsors that have boomed since the DeWolf Supreme Court opinion and some of the other opinions over the years. Lawsuits tend to be class action lawsuits where a class of plan participants sue the plan sponsor. Small plans will always point out that they are small, so therefore they're not going to get sued. You know, well, that's true. Small plans tend not to be the targets. There have been a couple plans that have been the target. But quite honestly, if I'm an ERISA attorney for a small plan, which I am, I'm more concerned about a Department of Labor and IRS audit than I am of a class action lawsuit. I don't fear getting struck by lightning, but I get a fear, especially walking in my neighborhood, of getting hit by a car. The real threat to a small, medium-sized plan is the Department of Labor and the Internal Revenue Service. That's my experience. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And so when we would have people, the audits were painful on a lot of these audits. So, even a small plan, if it's poorly run, it could always be the target of eventual former employee who just might sue just for a couple bucks. Many years ago, I worked at a TPA firm, and we had a Orthodox Jewish a plan administrator who was caught lying about the hours that he worked. He took off for some holidays, and he took off to go for a trip to Israel. But he lied about working on Sundays because the fob key didn't register him as entering the door. So he got fired for lying about the hours that he worked. Didn't stop him for threatening to sue the owners of the company, who were Jewish as well, for religious discrimination. I may have, acrimony against these owners of this TPA for one reason or another, but the last thing I would ever say is that they were biased against anybody who was Jewish, especially if they were Jewish. And it was not a nonsensical lawsuit, but he did that out of pure vengeance, and he got $4,000 nuisance value. Won't stop a plan participant from doing the same, getting fired for cause, complaining about the 401k plan and trying to get like a quick smash and grab type of small settlement to walk away. Next on my list, getting fee disclosures. So the plan sponsors think that they're doing okay. Fee disclosure regulations require plan providers to provide plan sponsors a disclosure of the fees that they charge. You know, of course, too many plan sponsors out there don't understand that they're was a duty involved with these fee disclosures. Too many plan sponsors have treated the fee disclosures like they would with the privacy statements that you get from the bank, right in the garbage. And plan sponsors have a fiduciary duty to determine whether the fees they pay are reasonable or not. And the only way really to do that is to benchmark those fees, like I just said, or by seeking pricing from competing providers. In my life, especially with construction work, I found myself to be overcharged for services I received, and the only way I knew about that is when I talked to other contractors and seeing how much I was charged. You know, if I overpay for my projects at home, that's my problem. But if I run a 401k plan and the money is excessive, the fees are excessive, and it's being charged against plan participants as a fiduciary, I may be determined to have violated that fiduciary duty because I have a fiduciary duty to pay only reasonable plan expenses. And the only way to determine that is to go out in the marketplace and check, really. And that's important. So it's not just that you have to get the fee disclosures. You actually have to see whether you're being charged a reasonable fee or not. Last but not least, again, goes back to that chance of being struck by lightning. The chances they'll get caught in a lawsuit or a government audit are slim. How many times when I have a plan sponsor that has to self-correct or go through voluntary compliance concerning a major plan defect, and the question is what are the chances that, we'll get audited? I don't like to take chances. Razor Ramon, the pro wrestler, Scott Hall, had a great line. He was doing a promo during one of the wrestling matches. I think it might have been WrestleMania 10, which was his ladder match against Shawn Michaels. And as Razor Ramon, he says, "I take a chance every chance I get." And when we talk about chances, I always jokingly use that line, but quite honestly, as an ERISA attorney, I don't like to take chances, especially with my clients. I don't want to make a bet. I don't like to bet because I don't like to lose. And there's nothing worse when you're going to tell a plan sponsor, oh, you got nothing to worry about. And then you get the news of the plan audit. Oh, then you have something to worry about. I don't like to take anything, leave anything to chance. I don't want to bet, at all. And I think that, people who say, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning, when you're running a plan that's inefficient, that has problems, you might as well stay with the large trees when lightning does strike, because you will be hit. I don't like to take any type of chance. I just don't like that problem. Quite honestly, a big part of my business are plan audits. A lot of them are random. But you never know when your time is up. I really think that, more litigation and more review by the Department of Labor and whatnot is going to make, more problems for plan sponsors when dealing with these type of topics. So that concludes this week's episode. And I thank you for listening. And, of course, go to that 401ksite.com for further information on all our events. And we hope you join next week. Thanks. Bye.